Just a little wire. you can put that up there, and otherwise, I would do it the way I suggested, if it was a different time, okay? Well, really, you got the economic problems, the water gate problem, everything solved today, everything.
All that stuff left to do.
I just want to take that, I can't find any stuff to lunch again.
Hey, I've been away a long time. I tell you, I never had more discouraging 2 hours than sitting listening to that with both the comments. Good thing we had that meeting.
Did they help the company?
Sure, they had come in and flopped around all bad as you do. One part of waste of your time.
Well,
number two, they just might have come to some conclusions.
But you're wrong.
But you're wrong.
Were you getting a rent break?
No, it's a rent break travel. And his office doesn't know how to tell me to get a hold of him, but he will call in and he'll call me.
How does it stand with the economist this week? I'm holding time open.
I don't know. I've asked him for a paper to try and get him to focus on some of this stuff.
When do I see Burns? That's the other thing.
Well, I wouldn't see him right away, Barbie. This thing is just too loose.
That's right. Burns will come in and throw it in from his side.
That's right. And what you've got ahead of you here that brings them to a focus is this legislation. That won't get here probably close to the end of the month.
No.
It's an action-forcing event, and
right.
It makes them focus in very concrete terms.
Right.
And all they did was Dunlop and Stein and Ash and Flanagan and a whole lot of staff types, one each. And they just sort of ran around a little tight circles. They're all the way from total laissez-faire, which is not an unattractive alternative, actually, in terms of the policy itself. Clear over going back to absolutely rigid controls. And there's somebody at every point of the compass in between this crowd. So there was no consensus. There were a lot of different prognostications about what was going to happen to prices between now and then. The guy on food prices hit all over the place because of the Russians. The Russians are now very busily buying freight space, which indicates that they're not going to make a major buy. And he doesn't know, and it's extraordinary achievement for that nobody in the government seems to know. It's something maybe Henry could find out for. But that'll affect things all of them.
God, we used to love that.
We still love it, provided we can count on it. As he says, unlike the stock market, uncertainty drives up the agricultural market. And people hedge.
Oh, well, they're not any, not today, not tomorrow, or the next day.
Tomorrow or the next day, I'll get a paper.
Schultz was kept saying here, anybody tell me what to do, I'm ready.
Well, I think they're convinced there's no point in after this session.
Right. And Schultz is completely not safe there, is he?
No, he is.
He certainly got
it. And Stein is, phase three was a good idea, let's stick with it and defend it. And Dunlop is sort of modified phase three, with a package of kind of minor things to do that would spotlight. They're all so there isn't any sense really in summarizing this for you.
Right.
A couple of interesting things though. They predict that the next consumer price index, which will be the 20th, will be at 1.0 for the month. Should be some kind of a whole time high.
Yeah.
And they expect it to stay at about that level for 2 or 3 months and then start down.
Right.
2 or 3 months at 1.0,
yeah.
Or thereabouts.
Why do they think that all their predictions for 30 years would be so wrong?
Oh, and they have got reasons. They have reasons.
Now, we said last, remember that meeting we had? I said, you do say it's going to go down to 2.5.
You know, they admit that they were very, very far off. But everybody's got reasons, and they spent an awful lot of their time explaining why their reasons didn't pan out. It has to do with the Russian buy. It has to do with
world inflation.
World inflation has part of it. Let's see, what else? The beginnings of the energy problem, which they didn't foresee. International agriculture. lumber, the bulge of phase three delay factor, corrections from phase two, tightening of capacity, which they hadn't anticipated, less unused ceiling capacity than they had forecast.
Yeah, I mean, you know, all that sorts of stuff. What Kiplinger says this week, he was no economist or anything else, is right, which is that we're in the midst of the biggest boom this year, will be the biggest boom year in the history of the world. And nobody in the economic side realizes that they're basing everything on a total lack of perception of a boom that's before their very eyes, and they don't know it. They've underestimated everything. Underestimated retail sales, they've underestimated plans. I mean, everybody's doing their own little thing, and it's bigger than anybody put together.
But what do you put the rigid controls on to curb the boom some, but you also then may be good
but
you may not only curb, but you may destroy it.
That's Stein's fears. That's Stein's very much afraid of that.
Joel spun out a hypothetical that was pretty attractive to me, and I find it. And that is to go on and say, we're in a time of enormous prosperity. More jobs, we have 2 million jobs, everybody's got money, by our spending, we're driving up the food market, we're doing other things. Things are really great. Everybody's got leisure time, more campers were sold last year than ever in history, so we're coming now into a time of labor negotiations. I believe in free collective bargaining. I think the less interference that the government has in the wage process, the better. At the same time, we have an obligation to make sure that the consumer is treated fairly, that the citizen is treated fairly. The best thing we can do for this country is to get government out of this process as much as possible and let this economy work its way free, as I know it will in this time of prosperity for everybody who wants to be. Accordingly, I think phase three ought to be, if we ought to move right now to phase four, which is free, and then kind of stand back and do some of the things with quotas and other things that we have the right to leave the construction industry mediation group in being, leave the health mediation group in being, but don't mention them. Just go on to the Productivity Commission and some of those things that are already in place and keep cranking. But phase four is a free economy. And you say, by golly, if there was ever a time in this nation's existence when we could have a free economy, it's now. It's a time of peace, it's a time of prosperity, it's a time of well-being. And so now let's find out once and for all if that thing works. I think it will. I have confidence in it.
And that is the price to go up, or you just say, well,
it's a, free economy doesn't work. And we gave it a real college try under optimum circles.
In other words, you got the Congress pass a bill for it,
and then they are. Either that or come out ahead of time and say, if they send it down here in this way, I think it's wrong, because it calls for more and more controls at a time of where that was in life. Now, politically, that's very attractive. From Samuel Economics, these guys all, even the free trade folks and all of them, said, well, now wait a minute, I don't think I'd go that far. And so, they moved away from it
because they think it would be too efficient.
I asked them to direct their paper at this as an alternative and to criticize
it. Okay. So, what are other problems?
I just had lunch with Klein Dienst, he is testifying tomorrow before a joint committee in the Senate of the Government Operations and Senate Judiciary on the question of intra-governmental relations, i.e. executive privilege. He has put together with Dick Moore's help and Dixon, the new Office of Legal Counsel, a very fine paper on executive privilege. But he calls it, whenever possible, separation of powers rather than executive governance. Basically, what he will testify is that this is entirely up to the president. And if you don't like it, offer. That's the law. And he has...
So it's bad for us?
No, it's all right. It's he has engrafted all kinds of exceptions for Adams and Dawson and people running back into history who were charged with wrongdoing. So the wrongdoing exception is well established in the draft testimony. He has an absolutely choice quote in there from Dean Acheson as to why a presidential assistant should not go before a senatorial committee on health.
It is delicious.
Yeah. And at the end, he says, wouldn't that be a hell of a way to run a railroad? But he talks about the lights and about the badgering and about the unfair juxtapositions on it. So, we'll hardline it. Urban's on the subcommittee. We'll hardline it tomorrow with Kleinke's testimony.
And then he quote Acheson, because that puts it back to a Democratic jurisprudence.
Oh, he quotes Democrats all the way through it. And most of the cases are in a Democratic administration.
The Democratic administration, but then sure.
So that's what's going on tomorrow, and we're going to review that.
And my talk with Benson.
I did not
reveal that. You had a meeting scheduled. I did say, John, earlier this time, his talk has been talking to the committee, who's going to try to work something out. I said, we're going to hold the line to make good happen to the council. And I just flipped that off quickly and let the council handle it. I said, second, Urban, I said, just tomorrow on the televised appearance of people. I said, we can't go that far. And I said, no, but if we may, I said, we work something out, we want to work something out. We want to cooperate. And then I said, now look at what we did with Kissinger. And I said, do you remember we had a hearing? We had a meeting with Blair House. Yes, he said, well, it's a boat ride, so I said, yes, and that's no problem. We'll do that in time. I said, I made the wrongdoing exception. I said, of course, there's a wrongdoing exception. So, in other words, I positioned him in a way that he should be in a car with his son. He and her position. Yes, he said,
right.
was sure that we thought all of our people were medicine.
Yes, sir.
Sort of thing. That, what do you say on it?
Yep.
So we get through this. They don't want to let his old passion point out.
He is so totally passionless.
That's right.
Dean has had the Oswego Council for an exhaustive review on attorney client privilege. And there are so many gaps and holes in that by reason of litigation and judicial decision that our strong ground with Dean or anybody else is just saying, take your privilege. You can say, he's been my counsel, I'm going to vote for executive privilege. Don't say, I'm going to vote for attorney client privilege.
All right, Harold.
We'll see it through the end, but that's the summary I got.
And if you can still use, however, the attorney-client or the counsel relationship as a reason that you're invoking voter privilege with him and only partial privilege with us.
Right.
Because he was conducting work, the work product of the interview with the outside.
I think it's very important. When I talk to Irvin, for instance, I will not even mention the attorney-client privilege. I will mention the fact that he is the president's attorney.
And therefore, must
therefore
hang totally on executive privilege. That might not even appear.
That's
right. Here under certain rules.
Right.
He won't be referred.
That's right.
Because if we do get into a judicial contact, then we'll be
on the
ground.
That's
right.
Well, that's all I've got.
What is the situation after this? I'm wondering about whether I have enough contact with Mitchell in terms of reassuring him. I don't know what I want to do in that respect. Whether I end up is what? Who the hell is Mitchell talking to? Moore, his confidant, or
yes,
O'Brien.
Is O'Brien and Moore.
Oh, I should have put it
O'Brien.
But for example, should I have a talk sometime with John O'Brien? Say, should I have a talk with Moore? Say, Dick Price.
I think that's fine. I think you can talk to Dick Moore, or you can talk to Len Brown. Now, bear in mind, Len was John's partner.
I know.
And, Len has very much of an arm's length attitude toward Mitchell's involvement. I've probed that very carefully.
You mean, are they like,
I mean, well, for instance, I said, Mitchell may be involved in this without being any more definite than that. And Len said, I thought he was from two expensive pieces of evidence. One, John has been very, very quiet. And two, the Weger episode, which he said I put down as being Mitchell's signal.
He thought Mitchell wasn't on that.
He said, you know, John has done many, many favors for Weger in the past. And I'm asking what they were. He said,
well, I'll get back to John. I don't want John to feel that I've been down here deserting.
I understand.
And I think John probably figures that you're out to defend all of them and so forth.
Sure.
So I'll just say more about it. For Christ's sake, John, if we're going to bet we can here for trying to keep the English, keep the group leads and all the rest of it. For example, how could we, who could prove anybody, John, if we get to carry the message to Mitchell that he'll make statements that he's bothered for could I have that statement, or should I have somebody else?
No, sir. That's it. If in fact Mitchell is going to take a fall on this,
I should not.
I just think you have to keep Mitchell in his own mouth. Because the main chance here is that you come out of this unscathed, regardless of how many other Indians fall in the attack. I think, although your natural inclination
about me,
I think the more general your assurance to Mitchell is through Moore, the better.
Right.
Not that you're trying to keep anybody leaving, but that you have an undying friendship, and this right. And that, and put it in very personal terms, rather than in the details of the case.
What if Moore thinks?
I haven't talked to him about it.
What do you think about John Moore? He and Dean were the fellows at first game and talking about all this and what they know all about it and I'm gone. They had to hold everything. It came out of bits and pieces, you know, so I don't need to think.
The war has, war doesn't know everything. The war has, it has kind of gradually soaked up by osmosis, but it's, I'm not sure how, you know, where the war is lying.
Thank you.
Well, and like I said,
so he figures, you know, I either blind myself to it or I face up to it, and I don't want to face up to it, so I'll blind myself to it on purpose.
Lang said that that's typical of John.
It is. You say that.
That's a special requirement, you know, you'll be on.
John sits there, totally stumbled. He doesn't hear you. He doesn't understand what you said, and he doesn't remember it after. He doesn't want to.
Lang said he took John's very low profile and great quiet as a sign of his presence.
Somebody out there who's got trust to do this thing. I agree with you.
And so it's all, and nobody asked about that. No question. I've never been that close to just a physical parent.
No question about that. But that was just a stupid piece of
advice. I think some of this, I think his own associates did that. But anyway, I don't know enough about what was going on there. The point that he made that I certainly would adopt is that this must be protected from what about crazy and irresponsible people can do. And it is a complicated
and
process.
It does happen.
And these things get out of control. It's constant.
And in this particular school, now there's a
I feel very strongly that, and I know very little about what's going on, and I'm taking on a little bit more for that, but I do feel that
the reader, the
children's report, I haven't seen any of that.
I mean, very statement.
But the problem with the present is to figure out what the theory of the case is.
I don't ever want to be in a position that John tells me something that isn't true.
point is, you're going to look for the bigger fish here. The fish that are really, they're after anyone, but the one who's out there closest to the hook. That would kind of look like a brooder there. If they can. Yeah, and my brooder knows. My brooder knows. Got to know that. Yeah. But that's the point I'm making. It's hard is that you need to adjust the coping and you can escape.
Absolutely.
And if it's involved,
how do we do that?
Then we must not get involved just with it, do that our objective is to win a loss and get involved in protecting John Mitchell.
No, I agree.
The president is.
And incidentally, to their great credit,
Colson feels that way.
All of them feels that way.
They've made it.
And Dean feels that way.
They all feel that way.
Do they play any of us?
No. And they're willing to get along. And
that's the job here that I have on the John Mitchell side. But what do you mean? What do we do about that? And there is nothing we can do. There isn't anything anybody that we know, except possibly me, who may know something.
Well, but I think what we said generally here is that has to be brought to a certain point in connection with the public development of the case, that certain inevitable steps that have to take place.
You mean not affecting John, if that's the case?
Well, you may not have to do that. Because, you see, I'm not getting so far.
You may not have to.